From the University of Leicester in the United Kingdom, this is Glenn Fulcher with another issue of Language Testing Bites. Issue 27.3 of Language Testing is a special issue on the automated scoring of speaking and writing tests, guest edited by Dr. Xiaoming Shi. In this podcast, we invited Dr. Shi to talk about why automated scoring is such a hot topic, what the possibilities and limitations are, and of course, why the media and educators often get hot under the collar about computer algorithms scoring learner writing or speaking. On the technical side, for this podcast, I'm very grateful to Jeff Johnson, who stood in to ask the questions on my behalf, and to Bob Scanella for arranging local recording.
Could you tell me, why is it that you think that automated scoring is such a hot topic right now?
Well, I think both the potential that automated scoring offers in terms of improving assessments and also its controversial nature have generated a lot of interest in the field. And automated scoring started about probably 50 years ago in the 1960s. And the purpose was to make it feasible and efficient to score a large number of essays in standardized tests. And we all know that over the past several decades, automated scoring has made a lot of improvements to support assessment and learning. We all know that automated scoring can reduce the score turnaround time significantly, could reduce scoring costs to make tests more affordable to test takers. And when automated scoring is used in conjunction with human scoring, it has the potential to improve the reliability of the scores. But I think what really has put automated scoring in the spotlight is that in recent years, there has been an increasing use of automated scoring in large-scale language tests, and some of these tests are very well known, so that has attracted a lot of attention. And of course, you know, in some cases, the use of automated scoring is very controversial, which has generated a lot of debate.
How does automated scoring of writing or speech work?
Well, it's usually a multi-step process to train an automated scoring model. You start with a very large number of speaking or writing responses that have already been scored by human raters. And then these responses are analyzed by computers for attributes or features. For example, grammatical accuracy or, you know, vocabulary diversity, all these different aspects of speech or writing that you're familiar with. And then you select and combine features in a principled way that can produce scores that are similar to human scores. So this multi-step process gives you a scoring model, a formula which can then be applied to new responses, new speech samples or writing samples to get the score.
If I understood you right, what you're saying is that automated scoring is developed based on human scores, and automated scores are then compared to the human scores in order to demonstrate the validity of automated scoring. Did I understand you right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so then I have a question. Is that a lot of testing organizations claim that the main rationale for using automated scoring is to overcome unreliability of human scoring. Isn't there a contradiction in logic there?
Well, these two statements do seem a little bit contradictory, don't they? There's actually truth in both statements, and let me explain why. The accuracy of automated scores is impacted by the quality of the human scores used for training the automated scoring model. So everything else being equal, if you have higher quality human scores, your automated scores are going to be more accurate. Well, human scores can be inconsistent or unreliable for a variety of reasons. We all know that. But you can actually improve the quality of the human scores used for training the automated scoring model by either, conducting very rigorous rater training or averaging the human scores on the training samples. And also another point that I want to bring up is that when you train an automated scoring model, automated scoring is actually based on the common patterns that emerge in numerous responses, in the scores of numerous responses scored by a large number of raters. So once you have a model, and then the computer could apply it consistently to either verify the accuracy of individual rater scores in future scoring jobs, or you could use it to complement, use it as the second rater to complement human scoring. So that's why I say, you know, automated scoring has the potential to improve the reliability of the scores. But I do want to emphasize that score reliability is only part of the story. It's not everything. The consistency of automated scoring is not equal to, for example, validity or accuracy. Don't confuse these concepts. An automated scoring model could score everything very consistently, but using the wrong criteria or looking at only some of the things that human raters evaluate.
Whenever the media get hold of stories of automated scoring, it seems like one of the things they like to do when they hear that, oh, now research scientists are trying to use computers to evaluate essays or evaluate writing. One of the things they do, I've noticed, is they take speeches of great politicians, or they take novels from inspirational authors, authors that are generally considered to be great, and they feed them into this computer scoring program. And then they report on how poor the scores and the feedback appear to be. And then, of course, you know, I guess the implication of that is, hey, look, these things can't be any good because here's Hemingway, and look how this thing scored Hemingway. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a fair comparison? Do you think that's a fair test of it? And if not, you know, what mistake are they making? What's wrong with that argument?
Well, that's a very natural response from the media, right? If I didn't have any knowledge of automated scoring, I would probably do the same thing. The evaluation method and also the result really appeal to the lay public who doesn't know anything about the technologies behind it. But remember, most of the current automated scoring systems for writing are actually developed to assess the writing of non-native speakers or developing native speakers, developing native writers. Also, these systems are sort of designed to look at only a few limited types of writing or genres of writing, such as academic writing or expository writing. So these systems are very sensitive to the kind of errors, problems, and issues of developing writers, but not to the problems of more advanced writers whose problems may be, for example, a lack of coherence or inappropriate voice for the audience, that kind of problems. And the other point is that, you know, the kind of features useful for assessing academic writing may not work for creative writing at all. So it's really not appropriate to use automated scoring, automated writing systems that are currently used to assess, for example, the language of inspirational speech writers or inspirational novelists, because their language might contain sort of spoken features or dialogue features which are not standard written features. So I think, to be fair, you really have to look at how the system does in terms of the target population based on the right types of writing.
My understanding is that automated scoring of speaking is a lot more complex than scoring writing.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Well, the first obvious thing is that to be able to score speech, you have to recognize it first, right? You have to recognize and process the speech first. And that is actually the biggest hurdle in automated speech recognition. And think about natural, spontaneous speech. It's unpredictable. So it does create a lot of challenges in terms of automated scoring. And also, speech may contain errors, speech disfluencies, fragments, and these just add to the challenge. So that's why we think, you know, automated speech scoring, it's a lot more difficult. And another thing is that when you score speech, you have to evaluate, for example, fluency, prosody, and pronunciation, which are typically not considered for writing. So you have extra things to look at there.
What are some key research issues that the developers of these automated scoring systems, what are some issues that they face in developing them and improving them and in making them usable?
Well, I think there are a few things. The most urgent one, I think, is try to expand the kind of attributes or features that computers can analyze, for example, content, coherence. I know the computers can analyze vocabulary, grammar, and spelling with reasonable accuracy at this point, but I think to go forward, we really need to expand the kinds of things that computers can do. And the second thing is automated scoring has a lot of impact on the way students prepare for the test and on how test takers speak or write in the test. So if a computer rewards, for example, longer essays, longer sentences, or lower frequency words, and then test takers are going to be prompted to produce what's expected by the computer to try to get high scores. So we really want to look at sort of the interaction between the test takers and the automated scoring system. And the third major issue, I think, is to look at the consequences of using automated scoring, especially its impact on teaching and learning.
Do you think, then, that we are ready to use automated scoring to replace human scoring in a high-stakes setting, in a setting where the test results have some kind of a high stakes to them?
Well, it really depends. It depends on whether you are replacing human scoring completely or you are just replacing one of the two human raters scoring each test. And I think currently we are in a position to use automated scoring to sort of complement human scoring for high stakes purposes. But I want to emphasize that we are not in a position, we are not ready yet to use automated scoring alone for speaking and writing in high-stakes decisions.
Why is that?
Well, I say this for a few reasons. First, we know that automated scoring systems now can produce scores that are comparable to human scores. However, they can't mimic human raters. They can't score, for example, coherence, logic, or content the same way human raters do. And second, the current state of the automated scoring system dictates that it's very vulnerable to cheating and also test gaming. And I'm going to explain why in a bit. And thirdly, I think, for high stakes purposes, for assessments used for high stakes purposes, we really need to look at the consequences of using automated scoring, not just the accuracy. We really need to look at the consequences. So you might think, well, as long as I show my automated scores are similar to what human scores would, human raters would assign, I'm fine, because at the end of the day, it's the scores that matter. However, we have to understand that automated scoring can impact a lot of things in the assessment process, and many of which may in turn change the meaning and also the accuracy of the automated scorings, automated scores. For example, there's this whole test coaching industry whose priority is to, try to help their clients, which are, who are test takers, to game the test to get high scores. And computers, because they are programmed to look at specific things, to look at limited types of features that are very amenable to technology, so they are a lot easier to fool than human raters. And eventually, I think, test takers' tricking of the system is going to sort of result in scores that do not reflect their actual language proficiency. And I think that issue is going to surface once the test coaching industry has caught up. We know that language tests used for high-stakes purposes, as you said, are used for, making important decisions about test takers' lives. So and also they have a profound impact on teaching and learning. So I think, all the test publishers have an obligation to use automated scoring responsibly and appropriately. So I just want to reiterate, I don't think, the current state of automated scoring justifies eliminating human scoring completely for high stakes purposes. Maybe someday, you know, when computers could read the content of an essay, could score sort of the coherence and logic of human language in a meaningful way, will be more or less ready.
So where do you expect us to be with automated scoring in 10 years? What's the way forward? What are some of the next steps?
Well, I think at this point, a sort of blanket rejection of automated scoring isn't going to help us move forward. Noise and uncritical acceptance of the technology. And I think what we do need is a healthy dose of skepticism. And what we need are sort of informed and targeted criticisms that can push providers of automated scoring to innovate and to move in the direction that is beneficial to the users. And developers and researchers from diverse disciplines have to work together to improve the state of the art of automated scoring. I think in 10 years' time, we will have made important headway in terms of using computers to evaluate the content and coherence of human language. Is it an attainable dream that computers could read the content of an essay someday? I think it is. We may not be there in 10 years, but I think we'll get there. And I think in 10 years' time, computers will be able to score and first recognize spontaneous speech with good accuracy. And also we'll see much greater use of automated scoring in high-stakes decisions to complement human scoring.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk about this today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this issue of Language Testing Bytes. Language Testing Bytes is a production of the journal Language Testing from Sage Publications. You can subscribe to Language Testing Bytes through iTunes, or you can download future issues from ltj.sagepub.com or from languagetesting.info. So, until next time, we hope you enjoy the current issue of Language Testing.